So this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, God's grace has saved you because of your faith in Christ. Your salvation doesn't come from anything you do. It's God's gift. It's not based on anything you've done. No one can brag about earning it. It's interesting. I was driving my daughter to school in the morning, and it's something that I do every morning now. I've been doing it now ever since we moved to Middletown. But I was driving her to school, and being my daughter, she talks a lot, which is a good thing. And she looked at me and said, you know, Dad, what are you doing today? And I said, well, it's Wednesday. And I said, and I'm going to do what I do almost every Wednesday. I'm going to go home after I drop you off, and I'm going to work on one of my sermons. And she's like, oh, really? She said, well, what sermon are you working on? I said, well, actually, today, I'm actually working on the Easter sermon. She goes, really? Her eyes, you know, like, almost like this was secret information I was giving her. I was like, yes, I'm going to work on the Easter sermon. She's like, really? She goes, and I almost a little quieter, like, well, what are you going to talk about? You know, almost like, you know, I got this big secret that now only she would know. And I said, well, I'm going to talk about grace. And she goes, oh, I love grace. And I was like, really? I said, well, why? And she just quickly said, well, I'm not 100% sure, but I just love grace. I mean, she's in fifth grade, you know, it's just, so. And, you know, being a parent, you know, I think, you know, dads especially, we do this. It's like, well, why? You know, I kind of persisted. Why do you like grace so much? Now, unfortunately, my daughter's kind of smart, and she's learned that when you are asked a question that you don't necessarily want to answer or you don't have an answer for, one of the best things to do is to reverse it, right? And just to ask that, answer the question with a question. So she looks back at me and she goes, well, Dad, why do you love grace? And I was like, all right, I got too smart of a girl in here. And so, well, what, do you want to know my answer? Yeah. Well, if you don't, I mean, I can just dismiss you all. You can all go home. Shortest Easter service ever. But, well, I told her that, give her the, because I'm going to give you the exact words. It was in, because I literally did that sermon that day. I said, I believe it is important. Well, really to get back to the point, you know when someone asks you a question, the reason why that I asked her why is I believe it's important for us to know what we believe. I think there are a number of people who will go to church and they say that they believe in God, that they believe God is out there, but they have absolutely no reason, they don't know why they believe. They don't know, you know, what that means to them. And one thing I've learned is that when you don't understand why you believe something, when something hard comes in your life, it breaks. It's almost like having a foundation built on sand. When a storm comes, if your house is built on sand, it collapses. So I said, I love grace because it's something that I get that I didn't earn, that was completely undeserved. I remember looking her in the eyes because we finally got to her school and I said, you know what? Your dad makes a lot of mistakes. And it's just nice to know that I serve a God that no matter how many mistakes I make, he still loves me. And he's still willing to give me something that I obviously have not earned, and I definitely don't deserve. So, now, honestly, that was the best I had. It was about like 8:35 in the morning. It was kind of a cold March, and that was the best I got. But after that conversation, I really spent just a lot of time pondering her question. Why do I love grace? Why is it so important to me? You know, and I find myself needing grace. I don't know about you, but I need grace. Now, one thing that I would like to do this morning, being this, especially this being Easter Sunday, is I would like to offer you communion this morning. Now, I'll ask, do I have enough board members here? Do I have four board members that are going to be willing to help me serve communion this morning? I have one, I have two, I have three. Do I have a fourth? Maybe. Come on up. If you're going to do it, so then people will know. It's pretty easy. Now, I want you to understand, at Faith Christian Assembly, we serve an open communion. What does that mean? It means you don't have to be a member in order to join us. Matter of fact, we actually welcome you to partake communion with us. Why? Well, we learned about this on Good Friday. You know what was interesting? The very first communion. You know who had communion with Jesus that night? I'm going to remind you of three different people. We had a guy named Peter. And you know what Peter did? He literally denied the fact that he even knew Jesus. We had a guy there whose name was Thomas. Thomas refused to believe that Jesus was alive. Matter of fact, he said, I will not believe until I see the wounds in his hands and in his feet. Jesus actually served communion to a guy whose name was Judas. He served him communion. Right before he served him communion, you know what Judas did? He committed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knew that. And you know what? Jesus still served him communion. So you know what? If you think that, well, I don't deserve to take communion this morning, I'm not worthy enough to take communion, you're right, you're not. But because of the grace of Jesus, you are made worthy. So you can, in full confidence, have communion with us this morning. And if you don't want to, that's okay. But I'm just telling you, you can if you'd like. And what we'll do is, for those of you who've never been here before, we're going to just hold on to everything, and what we'll do is we'll take communion together as a family. Now, Aaron, would you do me a favor and put that verse of scripture up there behind me? I want to read a verse of scripture for you as they finish serving everyone communion. It's in Matthew chapter 26. It's in verses 26 through 28. It reads this way. It says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, this is my blood. Oh, he said, gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I just want to make sure that everyone who would like to receive communion has. If we missed you, let us know. Today's theme for our Easter service is grace once and for all. Now, as we receive communion together, as a family, a body, however you want to, I guess you'd say, some people call us, you know, he is the vine and we are the branches. There's many ways that people, I guess you'd say, look at the church. But let's remember that just in the same way that Jesus gave the bread, as we just read, and he gave the cup to each of his disciples, he's also offering us each forgiveness. He actually gives that to us. My prayer is that in the same way that we partake, that we receive, and we eat and drink, these items that remind us of what Jesus has done, that we will in the same way take, receive the gift of forgiveness which Jesus has given to each one of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your broken body on the cross for us. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us to forgive us. Lord, today we take a moment to remember what you've done, the incredible gift that you've given us. God, let us always remember. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may take and eat. Now, if you pass your cups into the center aisle, an usher will take them for you. Now, we're going to get set up because I got a treat for you this morning. We have our young ladies that are going to be doing a dance for us. So we're going to get a little prepared, and you can welcome them. I had all these strapping boys looking at me as I'm struggling to get the podium, and one of them happened to be my own. But let me give you some background on the portion of scripture that I'm going to read to you this morning. It actually happened right after the death and the burial of Jesus. See, Jesus had been in the tomb for a number of days, and it was now the third day. Now, we'll see in this verse that there's going to be a number of ladies who are going to embalm the body of Jesus with different spices. Now, you would think that these people would have listened to Jesus, because what did Jesus tell them that he was going to do? In 3 days, what was he going to do? He was going to rise. So obviously they didn't believe him, because they went there to actually prepare what they thought was going to be the dead body of Jesus. So, all right, Aaron, why don't you put that scripture up there? Mark chapter 16. So Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 1, it says, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they may go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And there were saying to one another, 'Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now, let me define grace for you. Now, we talked about this at our Good Friday service, so for some of you, this may be a little new. See, grace is a gift or a blessing given to someone from someone else that is completely unearned, undeserved. So the definition, but I answered my daughter, it was good. I was lucky for an early morning. Now, we learn that grace needs to be received in order for it to be grace, because it's a gift. Think about it. A gift that isn't received isn't a gift. It is just wrapped good intentions. It's wasted time. It's wasted talent. It's wasted money. If no one receives what you're willing to give them, it's not a gift. Matter of fact, God's grace that he's trying to give us, it's the same thing. God wants to give you a gift of forgiveness. Now, I want you to remember in the scripture verse where we read, remember these words. It says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." Now, how many of you have ever made a promise that you really believed that you were going to be able to keep, but you ended up breaking it? All right, the rest of you are lying. Okay, and you're in church. I mean, maybe it gave you these thoughts, you know, "Oh, if I broke that promise, maybe I don't deserve to be on that team anymore. Maybe I don't deserve to be called someone's son or daughter. Maybe I don't deserve to be called someone's wife or husband." You may have even have thought, "Jesus, maybe I don't deserve to be called your servant anymore." You see, what we're going to learn, there was a reason why that angel intentionally said, "Go tell those disciples and Peter." There was a reason why they wanted to make sure that Peter got that message. That message was intentionally said for him. And you know what? It wasn't to be like a dagger to the heart. This wasn't to put salt in the wound of Peter. It wasn't. It was the beginning of a bridge that Jesus was building to his heart. It was a bridge that was built by grace. Now this morning, I get to the honor of watching our youth group perform a song for you that's all about grace. You guys ready? All right. Let's encourage our youth group.
Thank you for purchasing your life insurance policy. All we ask is that you keep your white room spotless and blemish-free. In the rare event that your room becomes compromised, the consequence is death.
Bombs have dropped and have fallen on my face. I made my decision and I'm feeling disgraced. But I won't stop till it's done. My fire and glow will be fading out soon. My conscience broke and my heart's out of tune. But I won't stop till it's done. No, I won't stop till it's done.
Bye.
system error. Your white room has been compromised. Initiate termination.
Misstep that kept me in the dark, but now I stand.
I actually want to give you some background on the verse that we read in Mark. Do you know who the author was of the book of Mark? It's not a trick question. It's not. Actually, he was known as John Mark. Now, the story of them being the disciples or the ladies going to the tomb, that you'll find that in all four of the Gospels. You'll find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The interesting thing, though, is the only in the book of Mark do you actually find the statement and Peter. It's the only place you'll find that. Every other time they said, okay, go tell the disciples that he's alive. But in Mark, he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. There's a reason why that Mark put it in there. You see, Mark understood. Mark knew what Peter was going through. You see, Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. He actually went with, you heard of the Apostle Paul? He went with Barnabas and the Apostle Paul on what's considered to be the first missionary journey. They did. They went out to really to let the whole world know about Jesus and the fact that he had died and was alive. The interesting thing happened, though. Mark quit. Mark gave up. Mark couldn't take it anymore. Mark left. Mark went home. Matter of fact, we find it in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. It says, now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. That was really just a nice way of saying that he quit and went home. We learn more about it, that this didn't really sit well with Paul. He didn't really like people who quit. A number of, after the first missionary journey, they all gathered back in Jerusalem. And Paul said, it's time. We need to go back and visit all the places that we basically minister to. Let's go to back to all those different churches that we went to. And Barnabas said, great, that's a great idea. Let's bring John Mark with us. Paul's like, no, there's no way I'm letting you bring him. It's interesting. We read that in Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 39. It says, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let's return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take them John called Mark, but Paul thought it was not best to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. You see, Mark understood what it was to be rejected. Mark understood what it was to fail. Mark understood the need for grace. You know what this whole kind of situation reminds me? Is that there's only one perfect person who ever lived, and that's Jesus. Only one. And you know the interesting thing is, even Paul didn't always show grace, right? Paul got so angry that he actually went off on that second missionary journey with a gentleman known as Silas. He said, Barnabas, I don't even want to go with you anymore. Aren't you thankful for the Barnabases in your life? Aren't you thankful for the ones that are willing to see beyond your mistakes? Who are willing to take you for who you are? Because you know what? I've never met the perfect person. We all need a Barnabas in our life who's willing to say, I accept you no matter how many times that you've made mistakes. You see, what we find out later, though, is that Mark changed. He did. As a matter of fact, not only did he end up writing one of the books of the Bible, the book of Mark, but we actually find a scripture verse written by Paul himself, who actually was writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. Aaron, put up the scripture verse. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. This is Paul speaking. He says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Yeah, that's the same Mark who bolted. That's the same Mark who quit. That's the same Mark who just didn't think he had what it took and he went home to Jerusalem. He's the one who lost heart. And this is the same Paul that gave up on him. And we now find him writing to basically his closest person, Timothy, and saying, look, you need some help? I'm going to recommend this guy. This guy's a good guy. Matter of fact, this guy has proven himself to me that he's worthy of being useful. See, grace, what I've learned, it's not a one-time occurrence. It's not a one-time thing that's applied to our life. Why? Because we're not perfect. We're not. You're going to make mistakes. We serve a risen Savior who died on the cross to give all of us grace once and for all. That means for everything that you go through in life. It's not just for the first time that you surrender your life to Jesus. It's also for the time that you quit and you went home early when everyone else was depending on you. It's for the time that you took that drink or popped that pill and you knew better and you did it anyway. It's for the time that you saw that picture or that video and you didn't turn it off. You watched it anyway. It's for the time that you even denied that you knew Jesus at all. You see, look, grace isn't a license to sin. It's not. Grace is unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. It can only come from Jesus. It's the only one you can get it from. Mark understood that. And that's why he made sure when he wrote the story about the ladies going to the tomb that he put in the fact, and Peter. Now, I would like to introduce our adult dance team. And they're going to bless you with a dance this morning. Thanks, Rob.
See, right after the ladies left the tomb and they were told to go tell everyone, well, Jesus did do what he said. He went back to Galilee. He showed himself to the rest of the disciples. They see him. They were rejoicing. Thomas doubted because he wasn't there. Jesus then reveals himself to Thomas and says, you know what? I'm alive. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us enough, even when we're doubting, when we're afraid, when we just don't get it? Jesus takes a second visit just to see Thomas. I think that's cool. But see, we get to the final gospel. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We get to the last chapter, and we find the third time that Jesus reveals himself to the disciples. Jesus does this huge miracle with fish. It kind of causes the disciples to figure out, whoa, that's Jesus. They run to see him. They have breakfast together after that. And then there's this confrontation between Jesus and Peter. You had to figure it was going to happen, right? I mean, the guilt had to have been eating up Peter. Peter was the one that denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three different times. So you knew if Jesus was willing to make an extra trip for Thomas, you knew he was going to talk to Peter, right? Now, I thought of reading it as a family, but you know what? I found a video that I think shows it in a way that you'll appreciate. So if they'll get the lights, I'd like to show you a video about Peter.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive! Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. you said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
That's a powerful statement, isn't it? To make the unforgivable forgivable. I don't think I could come up with a better definition for grace. I wish at 8:35 in the morning on that Wednesday, as I was talking to my daughter, that that's what I had. Why? Because there are some things in my life that if people knew about, they'd say, you're right, that's unforgivable. There are things that I have done after I even committed my heart to Jesus. There are things that I've done after I got married. There are things that I did after my kids were born. There were things that I did even after I became a pastor. You know what I learned? I'm Peter. I'm so glad Jesus called my name. I'm so glad that I have a Savior who is not only willing to die for me, he did it even before I said I was sorry. Jesus was willing to die even after I knew the right things to do, and I still didn't do them. I knew the right things to do, and I chose not to. Jesus loves me, and he proves it every single day because of his grace that covers all of my sin. Reminds me of this song. I really like it. It goes like this. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. We've all had Peter moments, haven't we? The question, though, is when you have them, do you run from God? You're throwing away his gift of grace and end up living a life of misery and pain? Or do you run to your Father? Do you receive his forgiveness? Change your decisions and decide, I'm going to follow after him. That will give you a life of hope, a life of peace, a life of love. See, today we all have that choice. Whether you have chosen to follow Jesus before or not, it doesn't matter. What the truth is that there is grace that is a given to you. And you know what? If you've never received that grace, receive it. It's yours. It's a gift. It's free. You can't earn it. Remember, we read it in the Bible. It says you can't do anything to earn it. There's nothing you can do. You might say, I did once before, but Pastor, you don't know what I just did. You don't know what happened last week. You don't know what's been going on the past year. You don't know where I've been. You're right, I don't. But I serve a Savior who does. Amen. And his gift of grace is still yours. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. Why? Because he died once and for all. Once and for all. It covers you. But Pastor, I put that gift down. Pick it up. It's your gift. Unwrap it. Hold it. Treasure it. It's yours. So this morning, he called your name. He called the Sharons, the Joes, the Phils, the Johns, the Charlies. He called them by name. The question is, do you come to them or do you run away? Choice is yours. It says in the Bible that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, anyone, even the Judas, anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, he and me. So today, I offer you grace. Why don't you stand with me?